Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
That's our custom. We want to start with our reading. Mr. Samuel Walker, it's been a long time. Our first reading will be taken from the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from what? Evil deeds. We don't need to go over with the fundamental importance. So today we're going to be looking at the first required course for our basic knowledge in the kingdom of God. And we are looking at repenting or repentance from dead works. Hallelujah. Amen. We are going to take another reading. We're going to take another reading. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, we are starting from verse 1. And he showed me Joshua. I'm reading from the King James Version. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a branch plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thee thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. That is our second reading. Let's go to our third reading. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, the chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. Let thy garment be always what? White. And let thy head lack no ointment. Hallelujah. These are going to be our three anchor scriptures for our activity for today. And then can we take a word of prayer? Father, we thank you. We've come together again, O Lord, in your presence, so that you can build in us the wisdom, the knowledge that we need to navigate in this kingdom. We pray that your word will find expression in our heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. Last week, we did an introduction to our series for a course of what you are doing. That is the solid foundation into dominion and apostolic government. And we said that this whole matter of solid foundation or solid or basic knowledge in the faith came as a result of the writer of the book of Hebrews trying to bring to knowledge the ministry of priesthood of Jesus, and how the ministry of priesthood of Jesus is of a higher level to that of the priesthood of Aaron and the genealogy of Aaron, and why the priesthood of Jesus is a better covenant administrator, giving us the day-to-day access to the things of the kingdom and making us be able to live the reality of the kingdom. But before the writer could zoom into that dimension, he found out that the course was a higher course. It was a course for mature students. So the writer saw that there was a need to make sure that this audience were mature for the course outline. So he told them in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 that There are so much we can say about this. And in fact, it is becoming a difficult topic to teach because you are dumb. That at this time, you should be professors teaching people, but you are still living on milk. Then he went on and said that it is not needful for us to go over again and again the milk of what? Of the kingdom. Which is what? Repentance from what? Dead works. So today we want to look at one of the milk doctrine, which we call repentance from what? Dead works. Now, listen to me. In this kingdom, the kind of knowledge you are given, in fact, development of every human being is based on the knowledge given to them. Both the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God are able to nurture people into maturity as a result of the blood, the dissemination of what? Knowledge. Both God and the devil targets your mind. So one of the things you have to understand that when you are exposed to a teaching ministry, what we are actually doing is that we are trying to re-indoctrinate you, work on your mind, so that you begin to see things as how God sees. So one of the things you should appreciate when you come to a church is how they feed your mind. If you have been here for at least a year, I believe that you have received enough. And we have not even started it. We are still scratching the surfaces of where God wants to take us. And today we are going to look at the point repentance. Now, there are two key words that have been combined in this sentence. Number one is what? Repentance. And number two is what? Dead works. Now, in the writings of the author of the book of Hebrews, he said that his people are not skilled. They are still babes because they are not skilled in appropriation of what? Righteousness. In other words, they don't know how to do what is what? Right. So, one of the concepts that grounds you and gives you the skills and experience to do what is right in the kingdom is what we are doing. Repentance from what? Dead works. Now, what is the word repentance? The Greek word for repentance is, let me spell it. M-E-T-A-N-O-E-I-N. Who can help me pronounce it? M-E-T-A-N-O-E-I-N. He said, how do we call it? As you heard it. So metanoia. That is a Greek word. And the meaning of this word is to change your mind. So the word repent means what? Change your mind. Though the word repent is very common in the Old Testament, the application of the word repent in the New Testament has a very weightier matter because the word repent is actually the word that opens up the message of the kingdom in the New Testament. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 2. John the Baptist was called into ministry. In fact, he is the man who actually prepared the way for the kingdom message. He went ahead of Jesus. And in his first appearance, the first word he uses is that he was on. And he said that, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. So, the call of repentance in the New Testament is a weightier matter because it is what actually introduced the kingdom message. Is he only John? No. Let's look at the ministry of Jesus. The beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. The first message that Jesus preached, the first word that came out of his mouth as a result of his ministry work. Yes. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, do what? Church together. Huh? For the kingdom of heaven is what? Let's look at the first preaching that was preached in the book of Acts when the Holy Ghost came. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, what? Repent and be what? Baptized. Every one of you, in the name of our Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of what? Sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you could see that at the beginning of all these three dispensational move of God, you know, the ministry of John ended when Jesus started, right? And John began his ministry without the calling of people towards repentance, change of mind. Jesus began his ministry calling people to change their mind. And as a result of what? The kingdom. And when the apostles were released into ministry, the first message that they preached, Peter said that you must what? Repent. So the word repent is a very critical topic or critical thing in the New Testament. Because without it, in fact, if that is what we actually need to introduce to everybody, without it, nobody has access to the kingdom. So what is actually the meaning of repentance? Right, this, the word repentance means, so I'm talking about repentance. What is the meaning of the word repentance? The word repentance means an inward decision followed by an outward action to turn around or to turn back. I took this definition from the Solid Foundation. Foundational Doctrines of Faith, actually. The word repentance means an inward what? Decision. So first of all, it's what? A decision. Followed by an outward what? Action to turn around or to turn back. Having given you the definition of what repentance is, I need to help you to know what is not repentance. So that some of you know that whether you have truly repented or not. Number one, repentance, what repentance is not, number one, shedding of tears. The fact that you cried doesn't mean you have repented. So when you go and you preach to somebody and the person is crying, doesn't mean that. You see how we've been deceived in church? When the Holy Ghost comes down like that, people weep and cry and cry and cry and cry, and we think that they've not repented. Sharing of tears could lead to repentance, but it is not repentance. Number two, good intentions or desire to change. The fact that you have a good intention that you want to change doesn't mean you have repented. Is that not serious? How many of us have been? You know, you're doing something like, tomorrow I'll not do it. Good intention doesn't mean you've repented, no. Number three, solemn vows or resolutions. Those of you who go for 31st night and you go and practice this, doesn't mean you have repented. Rather than show up next year. Repentance is not about you giving a promise or making a solemn promise or resolutions. You can write 100 paragraphs of resolutions. You are still not repented. So number one, repentance is not in the shedding of tears. So the presence of tears doesn't mean somebody has repented or you repented. The good thoughts to change or to do something good doesn't mean you have repented. Neither making vows or resolutions means you have repented. Finally, repentance is not regret or remorse. There is something called godly remorse. I'm not talking about remorse. We will look at the concept of remorse another time. But when you say somebody has repented, doesn't mean that you have regretted. In fact, do you know that Judas Iscariot regretted betraying Jesus? Why did he didn't repent? The Bible said he was remorseful. But that remorse didn't lead to repentance. So, regret does not necessarily mean repentance. Repentance, as I said, is complete. When you share your tears, you have good intentions, all these things are put together. It's only complete when the inward decision is affected by an outward action. Remember, we are talking about repentance from dead works. So I want you to get a concept of repentance before we enter that place. Because the whole requirement, the basic knowledge or the basic requirement of priesthood is that you repent from dead works. Dead works is not the only thing we repent from. You get that, you know. But we are talking of basis. When you come into the kingdom, before you are mature to learn the heavier things of the kingdom, you must know how to deal with dead works. So from today, you have been taught, you have been given the skills to understand what repentance is. So you need to start examining yourself. Did you accept Jesus Christ? Well, because in the case you became, you repented. Okay, I don't want you to jump. So I said, repentance is only complete when the inward decision is backed by an outward action to change from what you used to do. So the things I used to do, I do them no more. Until we see that you don't do them anymore, your repentance has not come to full completion. That is why you're going to find out that repentance is not just an event. It is a lifestyle. You find out very soon. Let's take a scripture that reflects the true picture of repentance. Psalm 119 verse 59. Let's read David's Psalms about his way of dealing when we call that complete repentance. Yes. I thought on my heart, which that is what good intention, right? And turned my feet unto what? Thy heart. So he turned. Verse 60. And I made what? Haste. And delayed not to keep thy heart. So have you seen the three things here? First of all, he thought. That means he regretted. Now he has inward decision. Then it was backed by what? An outward what? Action. If you want to look at a typical case study in the New Testament, it's the prodigal son. That is a typical case study of repentance. So until you have completely changed what you used to do, and you are doing a new thing, you have not repented yet. So repentance, therefore, is what? An inward decision, backed by what? An outward action to what? Turn around or to turn back. The next thing, so now I've given you the concept of what? Repentance, okay? So now let's look into the application or the whole derivatives of repentance in the light of scripture or doctrine. First of all, repentance is though associated practically. If you look at the New Testament, repentance is not common. You only find the book of Romans once. The next place you find is in Revelation. So repentance was not a common word. Do you know why it was not a common word? Because repentance was actually is actually associated with the response of a sinner to the call of God. When a sinner responds to the call of God, we call that what? Repentance. So therefore, repentance is the response of a sinner to the what? Call of God. I am coming, Lord, coming unto thee. Wash me, cleanse me by the blood that flows. Can you help me sing that song? I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flows on, I am coming, Lord. Of a sinner to the call of God. So anytime a sinner responds to God's call, we call that what? That's why it is practically associated with the response of a sinner. However, that is not the only thing that repentance is standing for. Though it is the first response of a sinner to the call of God, it becomes the daily practical life of the newborn or a Christian. You're going to find out, even though it is the response of a sinner to the call of God, there are instances in scriptures that Jesus called people to repentance. I'm going to give you those instances. Because of time factor, we cannot be able to read them. I'll give you the scriptures and those instances that you, when you go home, you can be able to go and read them. For time factor. When we go into the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus sent a message to the seven church ages, or the seven churches in what? Ephesus, right? In Asia. And these seven churches is believed now to be in Turkey, right? Those seven churches are believed to be. But the message also goes for what? The church age, the dispensation of the church age after the apostles. Now, out of those seven churches, five of those churches were called to repentance, and each of them had what they have to be repented from. We have the first church called the church of what? Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Ephesus was called to repentance. You can go and check out what God asked them to repent from. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Pergamos was also called to repentance. The church of Pergamos. Revelation chapter 2, 14 and 15. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, Thyatira was also called to repentance. Revelation 2, 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read that one. Sardis, the church of Sardis. Let's read what God asked them to repent from. Because it has a reflection of what we are doing. And I gave, and unto the angel of the church of what? Sardis. Now the word Sardis, the word angel over here used is not the spirit angel. The word angel means a messenger. So we have human messengers, and that was spirit what? Messengers. Now, this angel he's calling here is the messenger in charge. So, the church, like let's say, Daddy Joe, the message was sent to him. But he represents the what? The entire church. Do you understand? So, he is addressing the church in Sardis. He said, look, this is a thing that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy heart, and thou hast a name that thou livest, and at what? So what works is God saying about him? Dead works. Let's continue. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to what? Die. For I have not found thy works perfect before. Let's go, verse 3. Remember therefore now, thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and reward, and do what? And do what? So, though repentance, as I said, is the call, is the response to the call of God by sinner, there are instances in the Bible that the church was called to repent. That makes it that repentance is not an event that you stand for the first time and lift up your hands and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Repentance actually becomes what? A continuous what? Lifestyle. However, our focus is repentance on what? Dead. Don't forget, we are going to deal with issues of dead works. So not in general. There are levels you find out that you are going to repent about certain things. For example, the church of Ephesus, they ask them to go back to their first love. First love is not dead works. That is a higher dimension. God was calling them back to the place of intimacy, like death. That is not dead works. So, basics, the general cause, everybody must learn to deal with them next. The last church is Laodicea, which is also our church age, the church of lukewarm, part-time Christian, part-time secular. They are the people who are beast in nature. Do you know, they know, so I use the word beast. Very dangerous creatures. They are part human, part. They say, Monsam de Kakra, Namenso de Kakra. Sako de Kakra, Jumetsu Kakra. We mix it up. The Church of Laodicea, lukewarm. You are not hot, you are not cold. And it looks like it's a normal thing. But God said, hey, repent. Because I'll vomit you out. He said, this year they are naked. But they think they are they clothe, but they are naked. He said they are rich, but they are very poor. He has to come and buy of me. That was said their level of repentance. This is higher cost. He said, come and buy. This is a level. The repentance is to come and buy. So I said, today we are not dealing with all the when we get there, you know that level. But today we are dealing with dead works. Revelation 3:15 and 16, and then Revelation 3:19, you find out about the issue of Laodicea. So as I said, therefore, repentance is not only one day event of a sinner turning to God. However, it continues to become a daily practical living of the Christian, which is a continuous state of mind. So when you become born again, it is expected of you to continuously what? Change your mind. And that concept is what we call consecration. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now we are zooming into our main aspect of the thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Yes, let's read it. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself, your bodies, a living what? Holy, acceptable unto what? God, which is your heart. Reasonable what? Your reasonable what? You must learn to continuously what? Change your mind. Repentance. And one of the things that you have to learn to change your mind about is dead works. And the moment you live this lifestyle, we call it the lifestyle of what? Consecration. Now, let's look at the meaning of the word consecrate. We are taking it step by step. I want you to really, I hope you are following. Now, if you understand what repentance is, right? I know a repentance is not only the response of a sinner to the call of God. However, it becomes practical life. We found instances in the Bible that the church was called to repent. Our focus today is on dead works. So we are still looking at it. That when we say repentance, meaning the daily life of the believer, what does that concept mean? It means this consecration. I can't teach you depth into consecration because it's a very heavy concept. But we can't do all today. But I'm just going to scratch the surface of consecration. Because it has a bearing on our understanding to the repentance from dead works. I hope you get my point. So we want to really understand, because this was what the writer of Hebrews was trying to say, that we need to get as a scale so that we can be able to mature to absorb things of priesthood. Consecration means to make holy, into bracket sacred, or to dedicate to a higher purpose. The word consecrated. So when I say somebody is consecrated or there is an out of consecration, we are trying to say that something has been made holy. The word holy also means what? Sacred. Or something has been dedicated to what? Higher purposes. Now, the word holy, most of the times people don't understand the word holy. Can somebody help me explain that? I think I need to ask some questions here. You have been talking about holiness and holy. I want somebody to, is there a microphone? Help me. Let's do some quick. Please, who want to willingly tell us what holiness is? Minus Elder Prince. All the elders are not part of it, including Pastor Dennis. Yes, I want, yes. Yeah, you don't talk, you can talk. To be set apart. Can you explain that concept, set apart? You raised them. You said be set apart, so help us. From among the many. As you said, you are being set apart. So when we say somebody is holy, it is not as a result of what the person is doing, it's as a result of where the person has been placed. However, you are going to find out that because of where you are, because of where you are standing, there are certain things you can't do as a result of where you're standing. If we want to bring it into our political, okay, we have a security officer, or let me use that word, somebody's in charge of our security issues over here. Now, when we say somebody's a policeman, that person has been dedicated to serve in the interest of protecting the individuals, right? In that context, that person is made holy as a policeman. He is not holy because of what he is doing or is not doing, because some of them are very crook. I hope you get my point. But he is holy as a result of the uniform on him. If you dare touch him, even if he's wrong, and you touch him, the law will touch you. And as a result of the uniform he or she is wearing, it is expected of him or her to live by the codes and ethics. That is what we call consecrated life. So there are things every ordinary Ghanaian can do. They can't do it as a result of the position they find themselves. Are you following me? So he says something has been consecration or consecrated, living a life of consecration. It means that you have been set apart, you have been put at a position whereby there are certain codes and things that you must do and things you cannot do. Not because they are wrong or right, it's because of where you are. Yesterday, my wife and I was watching this sports that they stand on the top of something and then they flip on it and then come and fall in water. And do you see how people were burning themselves in? And I told my wife that if any of us try this right now. Now, if you investigate the life of these people, you will find out that there are certain foods we eat they can never eat. When I used to engage in sports way back JHS all the way to SHS, I was banned from eating pepper. And it hasn't become my habit. I can't eat food that is very spicy. As a result of me to be able to run faster or have a stamina to run a lot. If you are into sport, one of the things you cannot eat is pepper. Because it will have effects on your stamina. So it's not that pepper is not good, but as a result of where I've been put, I can't eat it. That is the concept of consecration. And that is the meaning of the word holiness. You are made holy, so you have to be conscious of the fact that you have been set apart. And the fact that you have been set apart means that there are certain demands on you for you being set apart. So So when the believer is living a repentful life or a daily change of mind, he's doing so to reflect his position of where he's what? He's standing. I hope you are not confused. You understand what I'm trying to say. So if I ask you not to listen to certain songs, it's not because the songs are bad. Even though they are bad, that's not the reason I'm asking you not to listen to it. It's as a result of where you have been placed. Can you drink and be on duty? Is drinking against the laws of Ghana? So why can't you drink and be on duty? Try and remove his uniform. Can you drink and be on duty? Can you sleep in the night like how we sleep? You always, at least in the week, you have an all night. As a result of your consecration, you have to have an all night. I didn't for he said he wants to be a nurse, and he separated himself unto the calling of nurse. As a result of that, there is a demand that at least once in a week he observe all night. He's not doing it because he feels like doing it. It is mandatory because of his position. So when we ask you to fast, it's not because no, it is as a result of who you have become. Holiness. I've dwelt on this one so much. This is a concept of consecration. Now, the reason why it is expected of you to live a life of consecration is that nobody can serve the interest of priesthood without not being consecrated or living a life of consecration. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. As far as serving the interest of God, consecration is non-negotiable. Verse 3. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and what? Consecrate them, and what? Sanctify them, that they may what? Minister unto me in the priest's office. Priesthood. I thought that the word brought about this whole issue of basic knowledge is as a result of what? Priesthood. And I'm telling you that there is no priesthood without consecration. In the Old Testament, if you desire, you see, in the Old Testament, there are people that God called themselves, okay? And people who decided to give themselves unto God. People who decide to give themselves to God, they, you can give yourself unto God and you'll be called a Nazarite. Let's read something small about Nazarite. The principles that qualifies you as a Nazarite. God said that me, I am at my somewhere. Then you decided to come and then give yourself to me fully to do for me to use. If you want to do so, this is the requirement. Your consecration, your consecrated life. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Numbers chapter 6. Verse 1 to 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either a man or woman shall separate, you see the separation here, themselves to vow a vow of what? Nazarite. That is to separate themselves unto who? The Lord. So whoever separates him or himself unto the Lord is a what? A Nazarite. Now, he said, whoever has decided to do that, let's listen to what is the condition. Sometimes we don't know what to sign for. This Old Testament, too. Listen to the requirement for Old Testament. Verse 4. When people say that, why should you not drink? I'm going to show you. Yeah. If you are dedicated fully unto the Lord. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is made of what? The what? Vine. And what does the vine tree produce? Grapes. And grapes are fermented and they used to produce what? Wine. So they said anything that comes from the vine tree, you don't, not even the leaf. Number 2. From no, you didn't finish. From the heart, the kernels giving to the heart. God is very specific. God does not leave how do you call it? Space for you to come and occupy. He makes everything clear. Number 2. All the days of his separation, he shall not. Okay, verse 5. All the days of the power of his separation, They shall no razor come upon us. He said, this is where the eye Rastafari funny if here. It's funny that they don't want a razor in their head, but they do not live to reflect the requirement of this. This is a requirement for people who have dedicated themselves fully unto the in the Old Testament. If you are going to live the life of Old Testament, then reflect what is required for you. I don't want to mind them. Unto the day be fulfilled, in which he is separated. So somebody can decide that the first 30 years of my life, I want to be a Nazarite to God. Within that period, you must make sure that you don't break. Verse 6. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come as no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his father, for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his what? His head. Let me check the seat. What is it? All the days of his separation, he is what? He is what? He is what? So even in the Old Testament, when somebody decides to become a Nazarite for God, they are conditions. So it's not that drinking wine was wrong in the Old Testament too. God never stopped them from drinking wine, but he said the moment you become a Nazarite. So in other words, even priests were banned from drinking wine. You have been dedicated to Aaron and his, you are banned. You can't, because you have been dedicated. God wants your eyes to be clear when you come to his presence. Now, can you have a meeting? Say, David. Therefore, priesthood can never be attained without consecration. Can I make this statement to you? Your salvation is the sole responsibility of God. Take this from me. It is God's duty to make sure you are saved. When it comes to salvation, it is God who put in all the necessary mechanisms for your salvation. But your consecration is your sole responsibility. You may say, so for this one, where did you hear this from? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Consecration is the work of you. You have to do it. God will not do it. But as we which have called you is what? So you as God who has called you has separated himself, you have to also be what? In all manner, because it is written, be you what? Holy, for I am what? Exodus 32, verse 29. Exodus 32, verse 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourself to who? Today to God, the Lord. Every man upon his what? His son, and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing of this day. This was talking about the incident when Moses came down from the mountains and the people were worshipping what? False God, or made an idol for themselves. And the Bible said that the Levites drew sword and slain everybody who was found worshipping an idol. And after the slay, for the blessing of God to come upon them again, the entire nation as Israel, they required what? A consecration. God will never do consecration for you. You'll find out why. So it, because of the position that you have found yourself, you must always make sure that you live by the codes and ethics of that God position you find yourself. And that one, God will not do it for you. His job is to bring you to that position, that is salvation. But to continue in that position and reflect where you are is your duty. We are still talking about repentance. Now, the repentance I'm talking about right now is what? Living, not the one you come to accept Jesus, you're not a sinner. I'm talking about the Christian's application of what? Repentance. It's what we call what? Consecration. Do you know that God will never force anybody to serve him, even though he saved you. You read it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that what? You do what? Give me the Romans chapter 12, verse 1, so that they read themselves and say that God, even though he saved you, he bought you with his precious blood, he will never, ever force you to serve him or give yourself to him. It is you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you ought to present yourself, Lord, your body is out, a living what? What is the word over there? The first word, Lord, the living sacrifice should be what? The living sacrifice should be what? So you see the consecration there. So it's not every living sacrifice is all God has accepted. The living sacrifice you can give to God must be what? Consecrated life. So the psalmist said that, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my movements and my ways, let them flow in sin. God will never force you to serve him. And in fact, even if you decide to give yourself to him, consecration is required. Holy. Then it will be what? Acceptable unto God. And he said, this is your reasonable act of what? Other versions are the reasonable act of worship. So if indeed you are worshiping God, the sign of your reasonable worship unto God is that you have presented yourself to him as what? Holy. Set apart. Living a life of consecration. Even though God has also saved us, do you know that he will never use us for good works? Huh? Until we live a life of consecration. The good works, like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read it. You find out why God saved us. Yes. For we are his what? Workmanship. Created in what? Christ Jesus. Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? Which God has not ordained before us that we should what? Walk in them. So we have been saved, right? That we may be used for good works. And it has been ordained. But I can tell you point blank here, that it is only a life of consecration that can make you somebody God can use for good works. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of what? And of what? But also of what? Wood and of what? So he's talking about the house of God. There are many vessels. Listen. And some to what? Anna, and some to what? Dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore, so God though has created us for good works, or has ordained us for good works, until you have purged yourself. Consecration. He shall be a vessel of what? Anna, unto what? Anna, sanctified and meet for the master's word, use and prepare unto everyone. So God has not used everybody. Don't be deceived. For me, any other person, over here again. Now, once you know, I pray. So you see, so salvation God will give it to you, but consecration is your job. And until you live a life of consecration. You can never serve any good works of God. Why is consecration a big deal? Why is it a big deal? Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. Wait, no. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Why is consecration a big deal? Let me show you something. Say, this is what God was telling Moses. Listen. And it shall be unto me a kingdom of what? And I'm what? Holy what? These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Give me that scripture too. What is consecration a big deal? Now I am wrapping up into dead works. Look at why I'm telling you all this is about consecration. But ye are what? A chosen what? A royal what? And what? A peculiar what? That he should show what? The reason why God came to save you is to make you a royal priest. God is building a kingdom of priesthood. And until you understand the place of consecration, you will not fit into this kingdom. And the journey of consecration is repentance from the works. God wants to use you. He wants to use you as a vessel. But also, it is only the vessel that has spent itself that will fit for the master's use. It doesn't matter you are a clay, you are a wood, or a rod, a silver. The requirement is consecration. Because this is not a company of army. It's a company of priests who are kings. So the church must understand that we can never attend priesthood until we begin the basics of consecration. Continuous repentance. Continuous change of mind. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that God, you present yourself. Give me the verse 3. Romans chapter 12. Let's go to verse 3. Romans chapter 2, verse 3.
Yes.
What is it? Let's go to the verse 3. And be not what? Conformed unto what? But be ye what? By the what? That you may what? Prove what is what? That is what? Good. And then what? And what? Do you remember what we read last week in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14? That they that are unskilled, that don't know what is good or what? Or wrong. So the continuous renewing of our mind is what set us on the path of priesthood. Church, we have not been called unto any other form of kingdom but the kingdom of priesthood. I pray for you that you understand that because of the position you find yourself, you must live a certain life. It is a demand. If you can't live it, then live. Why will you subscribe to the profession of a nurse if you know you cannot do what it takes to be a nurse? Why will you subscribe to a profession of politics when you know that you cannot do that too? How many of you, you are very easy when you were choosing your life course? Most of us are investing. You didn't choose your course because no, you chose it because you know that you can do it and do it well, right? And you are ready to make the sacrifice for it. Some of you can do sleepless nights as a result of the profession you want to do or what you want to become. Some of us can go the length and breadth to make sure that this dream you want to be, and we are ready to make sacrifice. There are people who have refused to marry because of their profession. There are people who have taken certain decisions in life that it is costing them so much. There are people who don't have social life. Because the day they decide to also change, we will all be dead. They understand that by the virtue of the position they stand, they can do certain things. But it is only in the church that we don't know that we are called unto prison. And because of that position, we can do certain things. And it starts with dead works. The call to repentance to the believer's average life, everyday life, is that you continue to live to faith into the position where you are. The moment you start doing that, you see that you begin to naturally emit the power. Being professional is not as a result of you having a certificate of a profession, but you living by the codes and ethics of that. When someone says, be professional, the person is ready to tell that let the code and ethics of that portfolio you handle be reflective in your life. So, a professional cook's way of life is different from what? The profession of what? Emesh. It's my prayer that we will understand that without living a life of consecration, which is a basic requirement to priesthood, we can never fit in the kingdom. The reason why the church has no power is because priesthood has not, the journey of priesthood has not even started. But what were we called into? Called into priesthood. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, and what? Holy nation. Nation that has been separated. But until we purge ourselves. Why is the altar asking us to consider the, I've given you a full knowledge of what repentance is and the daily practical life of the believers in repentance. But the question at hand, or the topic at hand, is that we should repent from what? Dead works. The basis of our journey in Christianity is our repentance from dead works. What is dead work? Dead work is any, is the work that are produced by dead people. And when we talk about dead people in scriptures, we are talking about sinners. What sinners are born to do is what we call dead works. It is the ministerial duty of a sinner to sin. But it is a huge error. It is what? A huge error of a believer to what? To show for dead works. Sometimes I'm so surprised when you go for evangelism, you are telling people to stop fornicating. Oh, you know the person is not born again. Who told you that the person can stop? The person is naturally designed to sin. That is the way they are to do. You are not the one, you are not supposed to lead that work. As someone who's not born again, that is their job. So understand that when they are showing for that, it is natural to them. So dead works are works of what? Dead people. People who are not born again. The Bible says that we must repent. You have to have a change of mind from what? These works. Let's take our last but two scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. All the things I've listed before we get in here is to tell the importance of repenting from dead works or living a consecrated life. One of the key things I want you to take from this place is that until you have decided to be consecrated unto the Lord, this kingdom will have no use of you. You are a liability here. Yeah. There's no two way about it. God will never use you. You can cry and fast and do whatever. God will never use you. And the higher your level of consecration, the deeper you consecrate yourself, the more useful you become in the kingdom. That's what I thought. There are many things you are going to repent from, but the basic is what? Dead works. Listen to what Paul is telling the church. Listen to that. But what? Fornication and all what? Uncleanliness or covetousness. Let it not be what? Once what? Nay, among you as becometh what? Repentance from what? He didn't say it shouldn't be practiced. My young boy, you bow. What is it? You shouldn't even name it. These people you can find. No, you shouldn't. My young suspect. Don't even give room for you to be suspected that you can do any of them. Let's continue. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor dissent, which are not convenient, but rather of giving of what?
Thanks.
Let's continue. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. You see, it's not about the concept here is of inheritance. Remember what you read in the book of Revelation on Friday? That the seven things that has been secured for us, these are the inheritance of what? The kingdom. Do you remember them? One is what? Power. The Bible said, I should tell you, even here on earth, those inheritance you are denied as a result of living this life. The reason I'm not seeing prosperity in the church is because we have yet to separate ourselves. We have not seen the power of God in church as a result of us still being attached and accused, even suspected, not practically living it. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon children of God. The reason why God is going to judge those who are not born again is because of these things, the dead works. Verse 7. You are reading all the way to verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with what? Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are what? Ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of what? You see the requirement of priesthood. Don't need to be mentioned among you. Don't be partakers. Walk as children of what? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all. And what? So if indeed you have received the fruit of the Spirit, which is actually what you receive on the day of salvation, what we expect to see from you is what? Goodness, righteousness, and what? Truth. Unto them. So you see that we still come out that this is a basic course. Because it is able to help you to know what is what? Right from what? Wrong. The question is, how many of us? How many of us? If you want to live a consecrated life, you must begin with avoiding dead works. If you want to be a priest unto God, God said to Moses, separate, he said, consecrate Aaron and his sons so that they will minister unto me as what? In the account of the book of Ezekiel, there was a time that God said that there are two kinds of priests. One of those priests said that they were ministers unto the people and they will never minister unto me. But he said there's a priesthood after the order of what? Zadok. He said, for this one shall minister unto me and minister unto my people. I pray that your priesthood ministry will not be unto people. Your priesthood ministry will not be unto people, but God will say that you are a priest of mine. Some of us, under this, let me tell you, priesthood ministry unto people is that all you do is that you serve the interests of the people. You can never be used by God, but men will use it. See, it is who God uses he backs you. It is who God he uses he backs. The question is, what is backing him? The Bible says, and signs and wonders have followed the apostles, says that even the shadow of Peter could rest at them. The reason is that the man has grown in priesthood. It is supposed to be taught that be ye holy. The man understood the life of holiness, a life of consecration, that his shadow, he has consecrated himself, that he naturally dispersed the power of God. The church is lacking power because we have not started the life of consecration. Even repentance from dead works. I want to tell you, if you are seated here, you don't want God to use you, you can continue in dead works. How many of us want God to use us? Then if you want God to use you, then you have to live to reflect 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, any man that shall perish, you will be used for good works. The Bible says, how God has anointed thee. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. How God has anointed you with God. Holy Ghost and God, who went about God, you can never do good without the Holy Ghost and power. But I tell that the power of God only rests upon consecrated persons. So when the writer of the book of Hebrews wanted to teach them about priesthood, to align to the provisions of the priest, the high priest at the higher place, so that they can be able to benefit from it, he said that no, until I address the basic requirement for priesthood, until I address it, you cannot qualify. So you have to know the importance of what you're repenting from that week. God can never use you. That's why whenever you are caught in sin, you shouldn't rejoice in it. Hey. Because your usefulness is under threat. You are becoming an absolute Christian. And very soon God will call you home. The reason why many Christians die is because God has not found use of them. Just let them come home. Because they are just even causing, they are just giving financial loss to the kingdom. Yes, sometimes God, yes, I'm being honest with you. If you are useful in the kingdom, God will preserve you. Do you know the number of accidents you have escaped? Do you know how many witches and wizards would have taken your life? If you see great men living till today, living long life, it's because God finds use of them. The kingdom is not a wasting kingdom. God is a prudent God. God does not waste his resources. So you think he's going to waste his angels to be keeping you? If the kingdom tries to get you on course and you are still not willing, he will permit you to come to heaven. Church, living a life of consecration, understand the concept of repentance is not something we should joke with. It's my prayer that nobody will tell us to live a holy life and do not become a tug of war between you and your pastor. No, nobody will tell you that you can't listen to certain songs. You don't need me to tell you that you can't fornicate. You don't need me. You must know that the moment you open that door, you have made room that you are useless in the kingdom. But the book of Ephesians 2:10 said that we have been ordained unto good works. Do you know what God can do to you if you live a life of consecration? If you don't know, look at how God changed the life of Peter, sir. Look at how God used the early church. If you don't know, look at our father in the Lord, Apostle Joseph Peter. Go and read accounts of the God's generals. Go and read it and see how man, like Simeon, guess what, became a terror to a sickness. The reason why COVID was able to have its way and make the church useless is because the life of consecration in the church is low. So God couldn't even find. I see God crying one more time that I sought for a man that will stand in the car, that I may not destroy these people, but I pray that God will find you, because you are making a decision to live a life of purity. No man will force you to live holiness like the light of God who will be seen on your campus and your family. It is time we understand that we are going into the kingdom of priesthood, and consecration is a requirement of the priesthood. If we cannot repent from dead works, then how can we live a consecrated life? If we are entangled in dead works, then how can we live unto the ordinances of which God ordained us? He couldn't teach them priesthood, not the concept of priesthood, because they were still living on milk. I want to tell you 3 ways of handling dead works. 3 ways. How to avoid dead works. 3 ways. He said they don't have the skills. I'm going to give you the skill. 3 skills you need to deal with dead works. Skill number 1, expose them. We're not going to read the scriptures. Turn this verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. You must expose them. See, any sin that is not exposed will continue to live on. Expose it by confession. Expose it by seeking help. I said, I praise. And I'm caught up in some things. He's the first person I'll call. Where's he? Ah, my one come. My one come. When he's also caught up, he said, suffer, Charlie. Expose. The Bible said in the book of James that confess unto one another and pray for another that you may be healed. Stop living in that sin and say that if no, God, you see, God has raised men and women around you that you can confide in them for help. The Bible says that for them that are strong, let them help those who are weak. If this is the first skill you will learn to deal with dead works, you must expose them. Today, Christians always want to hide in sin to preserve their dignity. You are interested in your pride than your usefulness in the kingdom. You are not serious. The moment you hide, when instead of you to expose what is killing you, the moment you are trying to tell me that you preserve, you prefer to what? To live in sin than to be useful in the kingdom. That is pride and that is foolishness. The Bible says if we say that we do not sin, we are liars and we are not speaking the truth. But when we confess our sins, he is not faithful and just. Admit that you are man. And when the enemy comes to encroach you with his dead works and your flesh exposes you, you expose it to light. The Bible says, and the light shineth. John chapter 3, verse 20. He said that for them that love, do good things, love light, and they come to so their works will be what? Exposed. But if you love sin, you live in darkness. The reason why you cannot confess that sin is because you love it. As long as you love it, you never open. Man, don't lie. You can't lie. Scriptures are true. He said, for those that love to do bad things, they love darkness. And what is darkness? Being secret, hiding it. Who told you that we are holy? No, we are perfect here. Sure. Do you know what I'm going through? Everybody's on his path of consecration. Hey. And become critical. I know where to go straight. Daddy Joe. Daddy, I've done it. My. That's not to worry about it. Help me. Why can't I tell my friend or tell Pastor? I'm not sure to say this on public. I got married fresh. After 4 months, 5 months, the enemy wanted to visit my camp with adultery. And certain people started to give me certain scholarship and other stuff. I called Prince. I said, Percy, hey, my anointing is under threat. Guame. And my brother said, okay. Do you know it's a monitoring time? There are three people monitor my life very well. Sister Portia, Aldoabo and Damatin. Wherever I am, they know where I am. Whatever I do. I expose myself. Be there. Expose them. When you are going through certain things, addictions, we are here for you. That is what God brought us here. Come and let's help you. It is by that you will be saved. That is the way of painting yourself. And a pastor, you are shy. You are not serious. You live in this church and God will never use you. You see that all that God has destined for you come and pass by. And you never get one. Some people have missed their marriages, have missed financial blessings, have missed certain things because they refuse to expose what we're going through rather than to hold it because of their own ego and pride. Humble yourself. Number two, flee from them. There are certain sins we flee. Let's read them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Some of you think you are too spiritual than God. That God made a provision for you, think that you have a better way to deal with it. Ayo. Flee from what? Flee from what? Give me the KD. Because the same person is kind of. Look. Flee from what? Can you give me examples of youthful lust? There are three key youthful lusts in our generation. Lust for money, sexual pleasure, and what? And faith. The Bible didn't say you should pray against it. The Bible didn't say we should do what? What should we do? How can you tell me that working in company of guys who are into secular will not make you fall into it? You don't like the person who will carry a fire in the bosom and will not be consumed by it. Our generation, they are not serious. They are not serious. That's why I say we don't understand what is on our head. That's why we are messing with it. If you want God to use you, flee youthful lust. Akono aye imemura kono. You think it's every movie that you can watch? Go and watch. So this movie is making your trousers full. This movie is making your pants wet. Yes, still my sister, my brother, as a strike, why you don't say go to her. In few days, you see that your brother and sister will just come and then go now. And you see they can't even expose what you're going through. These are serious things. So if we want to entertain priests with maturity in Christianity, we must understand things. You have to flee. Youthful lust, you have to flee. Sometimes my sister-in-law, they don't understand. At first she used to think I was just being too hard on her. But now she's really understanding why I'm so hard on her. I know that God has called her into the media, and I know she'll go far in the media work. But I tell her there are certain things you cannot do. And I already started fighting it. Because for God to use her as a priest in that area, she must know the things she has to flee. A Christian promoting secular music said that it is my show. Are you serious? If you can't do anything to the betterment of the kingdom, don't help the devil too. Flee! What did the Bible say? You do what? Anything that you know is a youthful lust, flee. He didn't say fly. Disappear before it comes. It's past tense. So before the thing lasts, you have disappeared. All my series that I watch are all about intelligence. How to use your head. You don't need to use your head to fornicate. So they don't add it to it. Yes, military intelligence. Hi. In that occur, we are very selective. You can check my laptop. If I watch, and they don't like it. Because I'm not going to watch this Nigerian whatever thing, and then by the time pass I get up, I can see that virtue has gone out of me. Let the virtue go out of me on puppet. Flee! Somebody say flee. Flee. Tell your friend at your left, flee. Disappear. Disappear before he comes. Last one. God is doing something on some people here. I told them this series, by the time we are done, God is going to work on us. I just pray and hope that the media team will upload it so that we can meditate and use it. If you need to expose something, expose it now. Come, let's help you. I'm here, your pastor. I'm here. If I can't help you, I'll refer you to higher places. Please, I want God to use all of us. I can't do this work alone here. I need you. So please, anything that will stop you from being used by God here, come and let's help you. Expose it. And please, the things you know you have to run away from them, run away now. Let me find out that you are doing and I'm still in a relationship. You are dating a guy without your pastor's knowledge. So I'm a chill. I'm not a patient pastor. Don't let me catch you. Even in the house of God, they are choking. Let's take the last one and we'll close. Overcoming them by walking in the Spirit. This is the most important one. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, walk in the Spirit, that you will not gratify the desires of what? The flesh. That is all. Be mindful of the season. What are you working on? Practicing the things of the Spirit. I was telling somebody that last week I said that you can break an issue by long fast and grace. It's true. Create your atmosphere. The reason why I have earpiece with me every day is because I know I'll find myself that I'm going to be able to blow my ears. I don't give the level chance. When I'm traveling, if I don't have earpiece, the first thing I'll buy at the station is earpiece. Because I don't want to watch the movie they are showing. I don't want to listen to the full song to play. I broke my ears. At least, by the time I'm done with three messages of them, to have my destination. I'm hoping the room high than their own. I don't care. What am I here doing? I don't care. I mind my spirit. I feel my spirit. The only way the enemy can get you to live on dead ways, beyond repenting from dead ways, is that always be mindful to the flesh. You can only do that by being mindful to your spirit. That is why we want you to do quiet time. Let me tell you, whenever you wake up without the quiet time, your life is bizarre. The reason why you do quiet time is that you want to mind your spirit so that you don't gratify the desires of God. Nobody, you are not doing quiet time to please me. You are doing it to save yourself. When we ask you to pray, that's why we organize all night. Come for the all night, though. Maybe that night, something could have happened. You were asleep. Mind the spirit. When you mind the spirit, the fruit of the spirit will be easy to bear. Anytime I notice that the devil is knocking at my door with certain things, I become moody. Then they'll ask me, why are you moody? I say, I'm fine. But they don't know that I'm trying to fight something. And I become moody, they see that I sing the song, and I just start listening to messages. For the next 4 hours, until I feel fine. It means that the enemy shows. You think you're the only one, the enemy still shows a seed of pornography. You are the only one using smartphone. Me too, I also see some. I go on Twitter, and by the time you scroll for trends, you have seen three pornographic pictures or videos. Then you see that your mind is already running around it. What I do is that at that instant, I leave that site, get my laptop, turn on some good worship song, get you from Sunday to help me out, and make sure that the thought vanish before I go back to my phone. Mind the spirit. I'm telling you practically, a young one always use Twitter and Facebook. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Snapchat. I am on all these social media. I'm not the only one. They are all here. They are on it. I'm not the person because I'm ministering to a youth church. I need to know what is going on there to meet the needs of the people. So sometimes, especially TikTok, oh Jesus God. If you are not mindful of your spirit, TikTok will corrupt you every moment. So the moment I am exposed to those things, quickly I mind the spirit. What do I do? I get something spiritual to do. The moment you turn on to your first, by the next 5 minutes, you see that tire. Then I shock myself for more energy before the next one exposed to. That's why we come across these things all the time and they don't have impact too much. Because you walk in the spirit. I pray for you. May you receive help. Amen. May you receive help. In the book of Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says that the priest Joshua was resisted because of the garment he was wearing. Anytime that words have any impact on our life, our garment is being sold. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, the Bible said that their words are dead, and for that their garment is sold. God said that I will take those who are able to survive. I pray that you will live according to my Ecclesiastes 9:8, that you will keep your garment white. You will keep your garment white by exposing sin. You will keep your garment white by minding your spirit, and that your head will never lack oil. God wants to raise a generation of anointed power for men. How God has anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. It is time the church rise up to the standard that God we are doing good. Whatever you go, there is good. But we can never sustain this. If we are still wallowing in dead ways, it is time to wallow in good ways. The Bible said, in that pet itself, it is such a person that God will use for good ways. I pray for you that your life of consecration will reflect. It is my prayer that we will live a life of consecration. For you are a royal priesthood, and consecration is a requirement.
We can't negotiate that. We can't live a life and be useless in the kingdom of God. I refuse it for you in the name of Jesus. You can't be in the house of God and there's no value of you as a result of you not living the life of consecration. Therefore, I receive you, therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you will present yourself as a living sacrifice. Holy, holy, and my shadow will be at the other. Will you live a life of holiness? In the name of Jesus, it is time that we live a life of repentance of that which shall not be mentioned among us. Ephesians chapter 5 is a let it not be mentioned among you. Let people see you and not associate you with Zachary or Shakawale or call your fan of SM. Let them see you and say that this is a follower of Christ. That is the generation we are raising up. And that is the generation we are rising up to become. In the mighty name of Jesus, can you lift up your voice and pray? And let me ask you, some of you are the enemies on your right hand side, resisting you because of the carpet you are wearing. But there's a time for prayer. There's a time for prayer. God is expecting you. God is expecting you. God is expecting you. And it's a season of prayer that we will be found useful in the kingdom. Lift up your voice and pray. Help me to keep my carpet white. Zachariah was challenged. Joseph was challenged because of his carpet. A priest like Joshua was
challenged. Gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.